the United States of America. We have to know who's coming in and out of our country. We're a compassionate people. Everyone all across the world wants to come be here in America, but we have a responsibility to the people who are here in the United States to make sure that we have secure borders, that we know who's coming in and out of our country, and that we regulate our immigration in a way that preserves jobs and prosperity and wages for the people who are here in the United States. I hope the next administration doesn't undo all the good work we did to keep Americans safe from drugs coming across our border, from illegals coming across our border, and from all the ills that flow from open borders here in the United States.
Former Vice President Mike Pence is joining the Heritage Foundation as a distinguished visiting fellow. The conservative think tank saying Pence will advise its public policy experts on issues and write a monthly column. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
It's dry night tonight, followed by a partly cloudy to mostly sunny afternoon Friday. Once again, there's a chance of that overnight patch to fog that might be dense. 50s. Friday afternoon goes to a high of lower 70s. Chance of showers coming in Friday night, Saturday, with a cool front coming down. Highs of lower 70s. Cooler with clearing Saturday night drops to the 50s. A cooler Sunday, some clouds come back. Late day scattered showers, the highs of the 60s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
A single car accident victim can require as many as 100 pints of blood. That's why the American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org. The American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show right here on WGSO 990 AM and, of course, streaming live on the new WGSO.com website. And I'll tell you what, today's a day that Mike is really missing out on not being on the show because I've been excited all day long for our very special guest. It's none other than, I will consider him, and I believe many others also consider him to be New Orleans music royalty, none other than the great George Porter Jr. How you doing tonight, sir?
Just fine, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. the first thing is, we're going to talk about what you got going on here in the tomorrow night. But I really wanted to get the opportunity to talk to you about how you got your beginnings for all those, because we have a lot of folks that listen to us that aren't all from New Orleans. So somebody who might not be familiar, could you tell us a little bit about how you got your start in music?
Well, I guess it was kind of like my mom was trying to do, wanted to do something that would keep her sons off of the, pretty much off of the streets, you know, of mm-hmm. New Orleans back when, you know, when we were kids, you know, and this would be the early 50s, you know. Mm-hmm. So she originally, her first thought, in fact, it was the choir director at St. Catherine's School church where she was a member of the choir, suggested that, you know, that She Go to World Lines Music, and you can, you know, you can rent to purchase, you know, violins. She said he thought that violins would be a wonderful tool to get, you know, her sons off to the streets, you know, and keep them, you know, music, basically. Mm-hmm. Bad idea. My mom went rented these things, and I think the violins probably stayed in the house, 12 hours maybe. You know, my mom, you know, brought the violins to the house after school one day, and both my brother and I pulled them out of the cases, and I, you know, we didn't even go through a tuning thing, you know. Mm-hmm. We just started bowing, and my dad came home, and man, my dad blew a socket, you know. He was ready to kill a couple of children and a wife, you know.
Right.
After a hard day's work, man, you want to come in here and hear this mess. No, you didn't get that stuff out of his house, you know. You know? So the violin kind of went away, you know. And I think it was the next thing that happens when I was about 7. My Zig's brother, older brother, Clinton, was a member of, you know, in fact, he was going to end up being our violin teacher. Mm-hmm. Because he was in the New Orleans Symphony playing. He was a violinist in the symphony. He also was a piano player, and you know, so so about sometime we're in the middle of 7. My mom approached him about teaching me how to play piano. My brother was not interested at all. Mm-hmm. So I went there for piano lessons at his house, and you know, Zig, you know, being another Capricorn, you know, it was just a little bit competition was a little heavy for Zig's mom, and mm-hmm. she put an end to that. Y'all get this out of here, you know, because you know, it was just way too much competition. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until my 8th birthday that that my grandmother gave me an acoustic guitar for my 8th birthday. Mm-hmm. But the rule was that in order for me to keep this guitar, again, it was one of those purchase, you know, rental purchase kind of things. Mm-hmm. I had no problem with, I had to take the rule was that I had to take lessons if I was going to, you know, if she was going to keep paying for this guitar. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I think the guitar might have cost $50, if that much.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you know, it was $8 a week or something like that, you know. I was all for it, you know. I said, man, yeah, I'll learn how to play guitar. I love, you know, this is cool. Sure. You know, and it wouldn't be something that would drive my pop crazy. Although he was a little upset because he thought my mom had spent his money buying that guitar. He was upset with her about that, mm-hmm. which had come, you know, was that's when one of the first times that him and my grandmother kind of bumped heads because she, you know, she kind of pulled him and told him he was an ass. You know, and it was her money that bought me that guitar, and it wasn't her daughter. And he needs to check himself. I say, whoa, go ahead, Grandma.
Right.
I commenced to take my lessons. But the lessons that I was taking lessons from a gentleman named Hamilton Brown, and the idea of the type of guitar that I bought was not, it wasn't metal strings. It had those kind of plastic cut-ass kind of things on it, which kind of leaned towards the teacher thinking that classical music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he was teaching me how to play the classical formula using all, you know, using 9 of the 10 fingers,
mm-hmm.
and the thumb on the left hand would come into play every now and then. But for the most part, it would be nine of the 10 fingers.
Wow.
So, you know, and but the songs I was learning was, you know, country songs, you know, Home, Home on the Range and Red River Valley, cowboy songs.
Right.
For the most part. Not necessarily country songs, but cowboy songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the concept what he was doing because it was simpler music, and you know, and it was easier to get, you know, to get a grip on, you know, on the
mm-hmm.
in conjunction with each other, And I was, you know, I was learning how to read, and I was doing the whole thing, and I enjoyed it. And just did one, it was the second, I did the first recital was the main after my first year, and going into the second year, it was about 4 or 5 months out from the second recital, I changed my route going to my lessons on that Saturday morning. And bumped into a gentleman and his grandfather, a young man and his grandfather sitting on the steps playing, and they were playing, you know, they were playing blues songs and, you know, and things. But I noticed that the grandfather was using the classical fingering on his right hand, you know, mm-hmm. and I said, "Whoa, man, he's playing the classical formula, you know."
Right.
But the songs he was playing was like, wow, man, St. Louis Blues, and you know, and I mean, it was, man, that's the songs I want to play, you know.
Right.
But instead of telling my teacher that, you know, I didn't say anything, and I got to the second recital, and instead of playing what I was supposed to play at the St. Louis at the second recital, which was Red River Valley, I believe. I played St. Louis Woman, and needless to say, I upset the teacher, and I was told that I would grow up to be nothing, and I'm undisciplined and unruly, and you know, and don't come back. So from that point on, you know, the guitar was paid for, so my mama wasn't going to send it back.
Right.
You know, so I started, you know, listening to Papi and his grandfather, and eventually they invited me to come sit on the steps with him and, you know, and play with him. You know, it was cool.
That's awesome. I love it. And then, you know, it's funny too, you said, talk about playing the St. Louis Blues. I'm actually wearing a St. Louis Blues hat right now because I'm originally from St. Louis.
So,
do you mind holding on? We can take a little break and we can come back and talk some more. And we'll talk about the show tomorrow night with the Funky Uncle. And I want to talk about a little bit about the Meters too.
Sounds great.
All right. we're talking to George Porter Jr. of the world-renowned Meters, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Rolling down the road, going nowhere, guitar packed in a trunk. Somewhere around my mark on 112, Papa started humming a funk. I got a Jones in my bones before we know, singing this melody. Stopped the car, pulled out the guitar, halfway to New Orleans. Said, take me home, 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 home. Take me home, 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 home.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
I've had my fair share of bruises and injuries, but for many who put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane has created a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving animals. For help, please go to AmericanHumane.org.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Hi, this is Jen Van Halen, your Fit Realtor with Revolution Realty. Let me motivate you through the buying, selling, or leasing process. As a realtor with over a decade of experience, I will guide you through step by step. From your first viewing to the act of sale, I'll be by your side. This is the time, your time, the best time to choose me, Jen Van Halen, and Revolution Realty.
Hi there, Cindy Clark here. Join me Mondays at 7 p.m. for Dinner Time Table Talk about good food, goodwill, and good news. Relax and get insight from well-known faith and community leaders. Together we can say farewell to 2020. At Table Talk, we'll feed our body, soul, and spirit, and look forward to good news in 2020. Thank you to our Table Talk sponsors, Genduce's Italian Market, Shortstop Po' Boys, Sammy's Food Service and Deli, and Parish Coffee. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Monday at 7 with Cindy Clark.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. We're having a great chat with George Porter Jr. And you know, I was just talking to the producer at the break, and you and I actually have we have a friend in common. And it was a few years back whenever I was producing shows, but I used to produce Nikki Reyes's show, and you came on.
Oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, Nikki, she's a great gal.
How is she doing? Is she still in the city?
As far as I know, she is. I haven't talked to her in a few months, but as far as I know, she's still around. I think she's still here in the warehouse district. So I need to reach out to her and see how things are going. But yeah, I was just telling my producer that. So getting back to your story, when I was doing my research on you. I always talk with my friends and other musicians about how amazing it is, like a band like the Beatles, and how odd it is that all four, you know, that these guys all grew up in the same neighborhood. But you have a similar story too, for one of the greatest funk bands of all time, and that's pretty unheard of. Also, do you want to talk about the start of how you got together with the other guys in the Meters?
Well, you know, that particular band is. We really didn't grow up in the same neighborhood, you know. Well, for the most part, Zig and I lived on Gravier Street, but in sort of like, it was probably like 7 to 8 blocks apart.
Okay.
It wasn't until I started taking piano lessons that I actually got to meet Zig.
Okay.
Then I didn't see Zig again until my parents just separated, and my mom moved us up into what they call the 13th ward, or they call it mm-hmm. Neville-ville, you know, mm-hmm. Was the 13th ward, and we moved uptown and on a street I think it was called Coliseum, I believe, yes,
mm-hmm.
And Zig lived on the corner of Coliseum and Valence, and Ortiz lived on the very next corner at Camp and Valence.
Okay.
You know, and so that's, you know, when I moved into that neighborhood, of course, you know, when I moved up there, I'm really a fluent rhythm guitar player.
Mm.
And And, you know, and it was, you know, it was the kind of thing that I kind of remember one. In fact, what happened to my guitar was a story. But we used to go in Zig's backyard and young Cyril Neville and Zig. And, you know, they would be beating on boxes or on the bottom of a tin can or something. And I'd be playing my guitar, and somebody else would be singing and chanting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the lady behind Zig, you know, I guess we got on her very last nerves, you know, after doing that for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And she called the police.
Oh, wow.
And the police came. Well, naturally, back in those days, when the word that the police was coming, young black men ran and scattered. Mm-hmm. And we scattered, but instead of me taking my guitar with me, I left my guitar in the backyard. Well, the police officers that came into the yard, you know, they all they found was the thing. They stomped on the boxes and they stomped on my guitar.
Oh.
And it pretty much destroyed the guitar. So that was the end of my guitar career for probably 2-3 years before, you know, when my mom moved again. And then from that point, she moved from Coliseum Street farther uptown, which is sort of in the neighborhood where we are now, back on a street called Camberone. Mm-hmm. And that's when Camberone Street, walking in the neighborhood, I heard a guy playing guitar. And I said, I wonder who's that is, you know. So I kind of sat outside on the curb by the tree, listening to him play his guitar, and waited for him to come out. And when he came outside, you know, I introduced myself to him, and he introduced me. We got to talking, and I told him that I played guitar, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, would he mind if I, you know, sat and, you know, kind of took lessons from him, because he was a very fluent guitar player and played solos and stuff. His name was Herbert Wing. Mm-hmm. And so he said, sure, man. Yeah, for sure. You know, and then it come to find out that the guy that played bass in his band, which was called the Royal Knights at the time, was this guy, Poppy, who I learned how to play guitar and learn how to play those blues things with him and his grandfather. That guy was, you know, Benjamin Francis Poppy and his grandfather. So it was like my musical world came almost like a full circle. I got to see Poppy again, but you know, see him as a foreign bass player, and you know, but because of my classical training, because I learned the formula.
Right. Right.
The formula of playing.
Like the classical progressions.
Yeah, yeah. And the actual fingering. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew how to play bass also. So it was, you know, bass was a natural thing to a classical player, because they usually play both bass and guitar, you know, mm-hmm. and melodies all at the same time. So, you know, so for me, being a bass player, you know, becoming a bass player later on was going to be like a piece of cake, and it was.
Wow.
But it wasn't until years later, maybe a couple of years, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 years later. I mean, I was well into my 18th, maybe I was late 17 or 18 years old. I was playing with, and I was like really too young to be in these nightclubs, but I was very tall.
Hey, George. Hey, George. Can I hold you right there so we can? Yeah, unfortunately, we got to take a quick break. All right, we'll be right back with more of George Porter.
Alex Jones. I have believed from the very beginning these are real grassroots uprisings all over the Middle East, North Africa. But when the globalists came out and bragged that they were behind El Baradei and others and are trying to take credit for it, clearly they knew that these rebellions were coming, so they triggered it to make sure their people got in. So I think everybody who's been looking at this from different perspectives has been right.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones.
Weekdays at 1 on WGSO.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Benz Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Benz Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Matt Doyle. Normally right now we'd be at the peak of flu season, but so far the state reports few cases.
We have extraordinarily low numbers of flu cases.
State Immunization Director Dr. Frank Welch credits the low amount of flu this season to two things. First, the pandemic and people taking mitigation measures seriously.
The 6 feet away, wearing masks, staying home if you're sick, washing your hands, all of those things are going to prevent the flu as well.
The second reason is the flu vaccine. Welch says it appears the message to get your flu shot this season was heeded.
We also have some early indications that people were a little more serious about their flu vaccines this year.
I'm Brooke Thorington.
And those now 65 and older are eligible to receive a COVID vaccine starting Monday. This comes as the state is expecting to see a 5% increase in total vaccine allotment for next week, and we hit 400,000 total people who've received at least their first of two doses. Approximately 250,000 more Louisianans will be eligible with this decision. Louisiana Radio Network.
I'm Jim Harper, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. On our farm in Cheneyville, my brother and I grow sugar cane, soybeans, rice, and crawfish. It's more than a living for us. It's a lifestyle. And the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation is a grassroots organization that stands together to protect that lifestyle. You depend on agriculture, and we depend on you to join us.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Red! Tiger
Red! Here we go!
Are you ready for football?
Here at Tiger Rag, we know this is the most anticipated football season since last football season. You want fluff? Eat a marshmallow.
I like the taste.
But if you want the dirt, Tiger Rag's got the shovel. The only way to get more info on LSU sports is by wiretapping a coach. Tiger Rag Magazine. On newsstands today and online at TigerRag.com.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumain Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
The Mayha is the craft cocktail bar located in the historic St. Rock Market. Join us every day for happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. and weekly specials like Tiki Tuesdays, Whiskey Wednesdays, and Thrifty Thursdays. The Mayha offers local craft brews and a robust and ethically sourced wine selection for enjoyment with your meal on the patio or for carryout. The Mayha is excited to present Mayha Mobile, a cocktail, beer, and wine delivery service. Learn more at strochmarket.com.
WGSO 990 AM is the only locally owned and operated talk station in New Orleans. We feature 20 local hosts discussing a variety of topics. In an era when the daily newspaper is being discontinued and our competitors are out-of-state media conglomerates, we ask you, our listeners, to support local programming on a local station. To advertise or sponsor one of our great shows, contact me at jeff@wgso.com or call 504-669-6070. 7-6.
Boy, have we got a show for you this week. Ever wonder where all the great songs have gone? Well, we found them. Hey everyone, I'm Pat Matthews, your host of 70s Deja Vu, and once again, I'll be looking in the rearview mirror, and I'll see you in the back seat. Join me for some great music, all selected to get you going on 70s Deja Vu. Sunday morning at 7 a.m., right here on 990 AM WGSO.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. We've been talking with New Orleans music legend George Porter Jr. And before we had to take a break, unfortunately, but we were talking about your beginnings with the Meters, and you're starting to play bass. So I'm sorry about having to interrupt you, but we had to pay the bills, unfortunately. But if you don't mind, telling us a little bit about you guys and your guys' start.
Well, it was kind of a thing that, you know, Art Neville kind of had his dream band and in mind, and he was already doing and working with Leo Nocentelli, mm-hmm. and a saxophonist Gary Brown, and the bass player. And I can't remember. Oh, Richard. That's it, Richard. I can't remember what Richard's last name was, but he got drafted. And when he got drafted, in order to stop from going into the Army, he went join the Marine Corps, and Richard went off to do that. And at that point, I was playing bass guitar full time now with Irvin Bannister, okay. and who just recently passed away, by the way. Art used to come and hang out. By a club across the street from where we played at called Ascended Club. And he at this one particular night, he followed Fats Domino across the street, because Fats Domino used to always, he'd get all souped up over there by Charlie's Corner. And then he'd come across the street by the Ascended Club where we was at. Uh-huh. And he wants to sit in and play piano, you know, and he usually always came over about a half hour before we were getting ready to get off, you know, mm-hmm. And want to sit in, and he'll come in and play for an hour, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, you don't tell Fats, you know, say, hey, man, we off now, you know, you got to stop playing. You know, right. As long as he wanted to play, he was playing behind him. So
sure.
That was it. And at the end of when Fats finally got finished and got up and left, you know, mm-hmm. and Art came over to me at the stage and told me, and they said, man, now that's the instrument you ought to be playing. You know, because like a couple of years earlier in my career, Herbert Wing sent me on a sub gig with Art as a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the night, Art told me that I was the worst guitar player he ever heard. You know? He said, hey, don't have to worry, bro. I won't call you again. Oh my God, it kills me every time I ever say that story. But I mean, I was a rhythm guitar player. I wasn't a lead guitar player. And the songs, you know, we would play songs, and you know, Art was a piano player, but he was an accompanist. He wasn't a soloist either, so he mm-hmm. didn't solo behind himself. You know, he would turn to the guitar player to take the solo. You know, and that. Yep. Wrong guy. No, sir. I don't solo. I'm sorry. So when he told me that night, he said, "Hey, man, you're playing bass, man." He said, "That's the instrument you need to be playing, you know." Mm-hmm. And he was more impressed because the fact that I was playing on a bass that only had three strings on it, and he was really impressed with that.
Wow.
That the work I was doing with just three strings.
Wow.
And he asked me, he said, "You want a gig?" You know, at that point, it wasn't nothing to choose from, you know, because I was playing with Irvin Bannister, who was very well known, especially at the Cindy Club where we were playing at. You know, Irvin was like, you know, a local hero. You know, he was a guitar player that played on a lot of the Danny White stuff, but on the big Danny White hit, Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, Irvin Bannister was that guitar player that took that guitar solo that was, you know, world renowned. You know?
Right.
And but then Art Neville, you know, asked me to come play in his band, and it was like, oh wow, man! And I said yes.
Right.
So it was. So like I gave Irvin a 2-week notice, and then I moved on to Art Neville, who was actually playing at a club called the Nightcap, and that's where, okay. you know, from the Nightcap, we moved from the Nightcap to Bourbon Street, and Alan Toussaint had been peeping at us. Oh, even though we were at the nightcap, he would come in, you know, and check us out, but he would never say nothing. And, you know, that Alan had already worked with Art, and Leo had already worked with Alan, you know, on some early Lee Dorsey stuff. Mm-hmm. So Alan knew, you know, the rumor had got around that Art Neville had a new band that, you know, you got to come check it out, you know, your shit's on. And we were doing really well in the nightcap. The joint was packed every night. It was never an empty seat in the house. You know, every night we played. And we used to play for 3 to 4 nights a week. We would play, I think the Thursday night, we would play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But the Thursday night, I believe, was like a talent show thing we were doing. And that had gotten really popular, too, that, you know, that we would play a set and then we would do a talent show. And, you know, and people would come up and, you know, and play and stuff like that. And that was fun, too. And it was, wow. But again, it was like, you know, the joint was packed. So we were doing really well. And we moved from there to the Bourbon Street. Because for some reason or the club kind of got into trouble and they couldn't pay bills or something. I don't know what actually happened, but the gig went away and we were off for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then Art called everybody and said, hey, we got a gig on Bourbon Street. But at that time, Zigaboo was, you know, he didn't have a draft card. He wasn't old enough. So we had to get paperwork for him to play on Bourbon Street with us.
Wow.
And, So I guess he was 17, I was 18, and Leo was 19, and Art was 28 because he's 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we moved to Bourbon Street. Well, after a year on Bourbon Street, Alan Toussaint, Art called us up one day and told us, we have an audition. Hey, hello.
I know how that goes. I have one of those at home that does the same thing, especially whenever I do my show from home.
Art told us it was actually at the end of a night, a gig. He had got a call that day from Alan's partner, Marshall Sehorn, mm-hmm. and that Alan would like to have us come down to the studio and audition. Mm-hmm. For some work, and so we all went down that morning, and Alan came in and, you know, and was giving us and he didn't give us music, he just gave us parts to play.
Mm-hmm.
and our interpretation of the parts that he gave us, which was our interpretation of what he gave us, but it was very strict to what he wanted us to play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the fact that how tightly we played together, I think, was his attraction to the band. And, the next day we were called back and pretty much was Alan Toussaint's studio band from that point on. And it was after playing a couple of sessions with Alan that Marshall Sehorn suggested that we cut a few tracks. You know, why don't y'all cut a few tracks? And we would be in the studio with Alan all pretty much all morning and then leave there and go to Bourbon Street.
Wow.
And so, you know, we would have, you know, 7-8 hour days with Alan and then go in the quarters and play 6-7 hours. You know, as a band, we were tight as hell because we played together, you know, right. 6 nights a week, you know, and 6 days a week. You know?
Wow.
Well, no, not 6 days. We usually be 5 days because Alan would take Saturday and Sunday off. He would shut down.
Wow. Well, I know you've played with a lot of great musicians, and I'm sure you've played a lot of wonderful shows. I know you've played a lot of great jazz fests and that, but I used to be in a band, and I always like to ask the question to other musicians. Everybody has one at least one one show, one gig that always sticks out in their mind for good reasons or bad reasons or just crazy reasons. My personally, just real quick, was we opened for a national act that was a metal band. I won't say who they were, but their fans were definitely not our fans. I don't know how we got booked on it, and it was the most awkward show I think I've ever played because after every song, I was the lead singer, and there was no response. They just looked at us. So what do you have one of those shows that stick out that is always you'll just never forget?
Yeah, I have a very similar story to just exactly what you were. 1976, France opening for the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
First night on that day. We played that three nights there in that theater.
Mm-hmm.
But that first night we played there, the Rolling Stones people, and it was just us and the Stones. There wasn't nobody playing before us. So there wasn't nobody to get beat up before we got on. And the audience, we were the last things that anybody ever wanted to see, in France. What are these guys? And then we were like really, we were kind of dressed up in outfits. Some of our outfits was really nice. It was really nice, really great looking outfits, But it was like way over the top for a jean wearing household, It was we got booed off the stage and they were screaming. A few people threw some things up at the stage. But I'll always remember that for what happened afterward. We kind of just like got off the stage because at that point we didn't know what the hell we were supposed to do,
Right.
And Mick Jagger and Keith Richards said, "Man, let's go back on stage." And they went back out on stage with us. And Jagger spoke to the audience and told the audience to if they listen to the music, they will enjoy this band as much as Stones enjoyed this band. And Jagger turned around and said, "Come on, let's play something." So we went back into Fire on the Bayou, because that's what we had started. We started singing Fire on the Bayou. And the people was throwing shit at us and booing and whistling. They was whistling, and so we went back in the Fire on the Bayou, and Keith and Jagger stayed out on stage with us for probably 7-8 minutes. Oh, not that long, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. And then they kind of disappeared off the stage, and we finished the set and got an applause. Everybody cheered us. So the next two nights we did, for the next, 4.5 months where we was out there, not 4.5 months, because the whole tour was 96 days.
Uh-huh.
And we played, I think it's 96 days, I think we played 70 some odd shows, 74, 75 shows. But, we had, that was the only time that we were challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, because it was like, it would have probably broke, a band spirit to just pack up and go home,
Right.
Lucky for us, it wasn't the beginning of the tour, but it was as we had gotten comfortable, thinking, right. "Man, we okay, we was
sure.
we did the British part, and that was in England, we did good, we
sure.
were we were kind of well known, but France was not, everybody said, "Man, what the hell are y'all doing here?"
Hey, probably those same people that were doing that night were probably the same people that now are still talking about. Remember that time that I saw it's probably more a sense of pride that I saw the Meters and the Rolling Stones together, and the story is probably a lot different than what the truth was. But real quick before I let you go, I want to talk about your performance tomorrow night at the Funky Uncle. And for those of you that aren't aware, but should be, because we talk an awful lot about the Funky Uncle here on this show.
It's a wonderful organization. Those guys, those guys, they really, you know, they really go far all the way out. And they treat everybody really well. I mean, Chris does such a wonderful job of you know, being the front person and the coordinator, and Christian, those guys, you know, I did one with Leo Nocentelli a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
We filmed that one, mm-hmm. and it was aired. I think it was aired last week.
Right.
It was like, man, it was such, you know, they treat us really well. We there for, you know, a nice period of time,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they had food, they had hot catered food and stuff. It was beautiful, laid out.
Right.
You know, I rode one of their floats like 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the stage where they actually set up the production for the shows is in front of that stage where they have.
Right.
My pictures on the side of that float, you know, and mm-hmm. Alan Toussaint and Earl King and Art Neville, you know, and so Dr. Jones, who I believe is on that. And it's, you know, it's so when I was looking at the show with Leo that was yesterday, huh? The Leo show aired.
It was last Friday.
I was looking. It was kind of funny because if the shot of me was shot from my right hand side, you can see me standing behind.
Oh wow!
Standing behind me, and it was like standing between me and John Groh. It was like funny, you know. It was
right.
cool. But no, I'm looking forward to doing this thing tomorrow, with Running Partners. You know, I love that band. Mm. With the new guitar player, Chris Atkins, on guitar with us. So it's been really wonderful. And he is one of those young players that does more than his share of homework, you know, mm-hmm. and he knows songs that I forgot. That's my songs, you know, and he constantly comes to us and says, man, we should play this song, man. It's a really good song. You should bring it back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, you know. That's great, you know. The keyboard player, I call him our music director, Michael Limler. He's been in the band, I think, 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like my backbone. He's definitely my backbone. And the guardian of the groove is Terrence Houston, and he's another young player that's really wonderful. Got great energy, and again, he knows the music. He knows my music, you know, sometimes better than me.
Wow!
So you know, it's great. It's playing with these guys are fun. We just released on my birthday, the day after Christmas, we released a single. I guess it's released digitally out there in the world, called "Crying for Hope," which is the title song from the upcoming CD/vinyl that's going to be out. And as the vinyl is going to be so beautiful, and I believe that I think it's going to go up sooner or later. That they're taking pre-orders like that. You can pre-order and stuff like that. But this vinyl record is going to be so beautiful. It's like, I already told him I want two dozen of them.
Well, there you go.
You know, because, you know, I said, man, I got to have copies of this. I want to make sure, because records around my house just kind of disappear.
I understand how that goes.
You know, and so I told him I want enough to make sure that these records won't disappear. But they're going to be beautiful, you know. The artwork is going to be, and it's going to be those colored vinyls. It's going to be different colors. And
awesome.
It's going to be cool. It's killing. I'm looking forward to playing tomorrow with the guys. And you know, and we played a few gigs over the last you know, since, I guess, the Maple Leaf was doing Maple Leaf in Exile at the Southport,
mm-hmm.
and we did the Porter Trio one time there. At Southport, and then I think even that when we did the Porter Trio, Chris came out and played the second set with us.
Wow!
So it was like getting both bands at the same time. And then we came back maybe a month later and did the running partners over at South Pole. And then during this Mardi Gras season, I think we got the Funky Uncle tomorrow, and then I believe we're doing the crew of Oaks. I can't talk about that. That's
okay. Yeah, don't spill the beans yet.
I just gave that away. Yeah. No, that's a private function. So.
All right. Well, George, before we get out of here, could you again tomorrow night? You can check it out from. You can go to thefunkyuncle.live, and of course, everything is to benefit the musicians here and gig workers in New Orleans that have been affected by COVID-19. So you can go check out the show. There's a donate for the Funky Uncle. You can bid on Frenchie's paintings, which I've been to a couple of the shows, and it's amazing. It's one of the coolest things I've seen since I moved to New Orleans 5 years ago. And so before we get out of here, George, real quick, where can folks go to get your music?
Well, right now, I think you just have to go into my Facebook page. But I don't know the address. I'm assuming it's George Porter Jr.
It is georgeporterjr.com.
And also my website is georgeporterjr.com. But there will definitely be what you call news blasts, because saying what's going on, when you can do it, when you can start doing those pre-orders on those vinyls, because that's going to be something, even if you don't ever play it, if you don't even own a record player, and that's what it's called, a record player?
Because
I don't even own one of those things. I got to go buy one just because I'm going to have this vinyl. I want to put one of those on a record and hear it. But, all of that's going to be made available shortly. I would think that, but for right now, you can go out there. I think at all of the digital download places, you can find Crying for Hope by George Porter Jr. and the Running Partners. It's out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, George. I really enjoyed you, enjoyed your stories, and I really appreciate you coming by and sharing with us. And I know I'll be watching tomorrow night, and who knows, maybe I'll talk to Sweet Talk Chris and see if I can get in to watch it live tomorrow night.
Cool, I understand. All right, my friends. Well, thanks, BJ. Thanks for having me, man. And you have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too. All right. There he goes, George Porter Jr., one of the true New Orleans musician legends in this city, and so happy to have him on. So make sure tomorrow night you go check it out. It's thefunkyuncle.live. And again, it's all the proceeds are going to help all the musicians and gig workers that have been affected by COVID-19 here in New Orleans. So that's going to just about do it for us tonight. And again, want to thank George for stopping by. And tomorrow night, you want to tune in because we finally are going to get through all the playoff stuff with our picks between Mike and I and Tony. So we'll do that. We'll have some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot to talk about, and who knows what the hell else we're going to talk about. You never know with us. So we're gonna wrap it up. And so Sean, let's just go ahead and play Gloria.
Something to Say Radio Show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at @S2S Radio Show, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
Join me, BJ Rust, every weekday at 6 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show right here on WGSO 990 AM, New Orleans, Louisiana.